our 29th president of this great United States that we privileged to live in served us from 1921 to 1923 upon having a heart attack and dying in office. His name was Warren Harding from Marion, Ohio. His vice president was Calvin Coolidge, who was known as Silent Cal, who became our 30th president after his death. One day our vice president, Calvin Coolidge, was presiding over the Senate. And one senator became very outraged at another senator, and he jumped to his feet and he shouted and stunned that crowd of senators that morning when he said these words, "Why don't you just go straight to hell?" Calvin Coolidge served us as vice president, sat there thumbing through his paper, and he finally looked up from his paper. Everybody was waiting to see what he had to say. And Calvin Coolidge said these words, "I've looked through the rule book. You don't have to go to hell." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I have looked through the rule book. You don't have to go to hell. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there's two places to spend eternity? One is heaven and one is hell. And you can make arrangements to miss hell and go to heaven. It's your choice. Hell is a real place. And people say, well, if it's a real place, where is it? Well, some tell us that it's the center of the earth, but we're not really sure where hell really is, but it's a real place. But I will tell you this. I don't care if it was in Greenville. I wouldn't want to go to hell. It's a place where the demons and the devil is in charge. It's a real place that is filled with real people. 3 people die every second. 180 people die every minute. 259,200 people die every day. 94,608,000 folks die every year. And every person that dies will spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. I'll guarantee you there's one person that believes in hell, or maybe two people that believe in hell. And one person who believes in hell is the devil himself.
Amen.
And can I make just one far-fetched statement? You might sit here today and tell me that you don't believe in the real existence of hell. Well, join most Baptist folks. Most Baptist folks nowadays don't believe there is such a place called hell. But I'll go ahead and tell you, if you're sitting here today and say, "I just don't believe in hell," it doesn't lower the temperature in hell one bit.
Amen.
Hell is still hot, as it's always been. Hell is a place that's going to be filled with murderers and adulterers and robbers and etc. The Bible talks about that. Hell is a place that's going to be filled with church folks who thought all they had to do was walk down the aisle and shake a preacher's hand and run to the baptism water, and nothing ever had to change in their heart. Can I remind you, if there's been no repentance, there's been no moving in of the Redeemer in your heart.
Amen.
So they're going to be church folks out there. Now there's going to be some good folks in hell. I hate to say that, but there's going to be some good folks. Some of the best folks I know that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm afraid are going to be in hell and will spend eternity there. That's the pride of folks that say, "I'm just too good really to come to church." You don't come to church because you're good. You come to church because you're nothing.
Amen.
That's why we come to church.
Amen, brother.
We come to church because we're nothing, but we know who is somebody.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be some community folks in hell. There's going to be some folks that you look up to in heaven. There's going to be some preachers in heaven. Everybody who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in a place called hell.
Amen.
It's a real place full of real people who are in real pain right this very moment. Torment. A thirst that will never go away. Torment. Pain that we can never escape. Torment. Minds that constantly think about what it could have been. Hell. But there is good news. And I know someone's getting so down about the subject of hell that we miss the good news. There is good news. That is simply this. That because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of us are going to escape hell.
Amen.
Many of us will escape hell. The subject has been the last three Sunday mornings. Friends, don't let friends go to hell. If you really, really, really love your friends, you don't want to see them go to hell.
Amen, brother.
What have we discovered? Well, we've discovered several things, very simple things. That hell is a real place filled with real people and real pain. Now let's talk to our crowd just a moment, then I'm going to finish my series on hell this morning. But let me talk to the crowd just a moment. Some of you may think you're going to heaven because of what you have. Some of you may think you're going to heaven because of who you are. The rich man passed by a beggar named Lazarus every day laying at the gate of the city. And the rich man never had time for the poor old man lying at the gate. Be careful, church folk. Be careful who you pass by every day. Who knows that God didn't place them there to see how you respond.
Amen, brother. Amen.
There are hurting people everywhere, and church is more than coming and sitting on a pew and singing songs and hearing the preacher. No, church is more than that. Church is stopping by the beggar at the gate and helping him with their needs.
Amen, brother. Hey.
You think you finally arrived. Can I tell you, you had arrived nowhere. I'll let you know when we arrive. You know when we're going to arrive? When we get home with Christ. Until that time, there is a mission for all of us to do.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The poor old rich man just passed by. Day in and day out. The rich man thought he had all he needed. Best of the property. Best of prosperity. He was set for life, but not eternal life. Count your money every day if you want to. Ride by and look at all the property that you got every day if you want to. Stand in the mirror if you want to, and look how great and blessed you really are if you want to. But let me remind you, what you have down here won't help you get up there.
Amen.
And boast of your religion, and boast of reading the Bible through in a year, and boast of being faithful to church, and boast of your Sunday school pen. But let me remind you, if you do not know Jesus Christ, you are not going to heaven when you die.
Amen.
And this old rich man passed by Lazarus every day. And you and I have been examining that story. The poor old beggar died. And the rich man died too. God is no respecter of persons. The rich man, I think, had his large funeral. People came for miles to hear what was going to be said about the rich man. Rich man. Oh, they wanted to hear what whoever it was and charge of that service what they had to say. And whoever was in charge of that service probably was bought with a price to brag on this poor old rich man. And he was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He found himself in a predicament where his money would not help him. The poor old beggar died and was carried into Abraham's bosom. Can I back up and tell you? Let me ask you this question. Who really was the rich man? I'll tell you who really was the rich man. The beggar was.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Wonder, I could have a thing and probably should. Wonder what the rich man thought about that beggar lying at the gate every day. Look at that worthless. Why don't he get out and get him a job? He's no cat. Who is he? Who is he? Why don't somebody get him somewhere else? Wonder what the church folks thought about the poor old man. Well, he's not dressed good enough to come to our church. You know, it doesn't look like he's had a bath in a good long time. He can't come to our church. We might offend somebody. Well, he got himself in this mess. Let him get himself out of the mess. You don't realize that the Bible tells us that when a lot of folks get themselves in a lot of messes, it's up to us to help them get out of the messes. If we turned our back on everybody in the church that got themselves in a mess, guess what? There'd be nobody in the church today.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Then I wonder what the self-righteous crowd thought about him laying there. He'll never amount to anything. Look at me. Look at how good I am. If you're good at all today, it is only through the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he gives us reason why friends don't let friends live. We talked about, first of all, the misery of hell, the heat that brings about a thirst. That even the rich man wanted a glass of water, but he couldn't find a glass of water nowhere. And even he asked Father Abraham, and Abraham said, I can't come to you, man. Can't come to you. Can't come to you. I don't like to live a life of misery. There's people that's going to hell that's going to be in misery. The second time, we talked about the memory that is found in hell. Abraham said, I want you to remember something, son. When he told him, I want you to dip your finger in some water to cool my tongue, he said, I want you to stop and think about how blessed you have been all your life. The hardest thing is going to be for the rich man who had everything down here, who sits in hell and remembers how blessed he was in his life. People say, I'm so forgetful. No, you won't forget if you go to hell. Your memory will be better than it's ever been. You'll remember everything that's ever been said. You'll remember this old, fat, ugly preacher standing at Cedar Grove in the month of March and preaching sermons to remind you that you don't have to go to a place called hell. And you got up and steered your nose at him and walked away. You'll remember every bit of that. You'll ever remember every song that's been sung on this platform that has mentioned something about the grace and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Misery in hell. But there's mourning in hell, which simply means there's broken hearts in hell. To mourn, no, means that you know that you've lost out and can't do anything about it. We mourn a loved one and they pass away. And I always remember doing it the biblical way, but guess what? We don't mourn for those who know Christ. We rejoice for those who know Christ. And die in the Lord and leave us down here.
Amen.
We mourn. The rich man speaks again when we get to verse number 24. I want you to look at what transpires. Luke chapter 16. This is where he asks him, the rich man, who because of his mourning makes a request for the second time. He comes to Father Abraham to ask him something. Verse 24 said, Father Abraham, would you just have mercy on me. Could Lazarus just take just a few brief moments and dip his finger in a glass of water? Or could you let him go over there and stick his finger in that creek over there next to the pearly gates of the city that he's living in? And come down here and touch my tongue. His warning, his brokenness has led to a request. Will you just send him to touch my tongue? Then when you get to verse number 27, he says another request here. He said, listen, I got something else to ask of you if you'll do this for me. He said, would you just go to my father's house? Verse 27, Luke chapter 16. Would you go to my father's house? What's his request now? Is it a fan to cool the heat? No. What's the request? A bottle of Gatorade? No. No, his concern now was for his family. He's mourning for his family. When you read verse 27, it goes simply like this. Chapter 16. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place. Would you just send somebody to testify to my family that they don't need to come to this place? The rich man was finally, for the first time in a long time in his life, brokenhearted, mourning over what was taking place, and he was concerned about his family, and he wanted his family to come to know Christ. The first great mission endeavor is found right here. He wanted somebody to go tell them the good news that Christ saves, and the good news that Christ will prevent them from coming to that place. And he made a request of Father Abraham, would you please go tell them? For somebody needs to tell them. And can I tell you, church, somebody needs to tell men and women, boys and girls, who are dying without Christ, that hell is real, but you can escape hell through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to hell. Thank goodness there's been a way of escape made. And guess what? It doesn't cost you a thing. Jesus has already paid the total cost. The saddest thing, if you go to hell, you'll remember everybody in your family who is lost. And in hell, you'll be praying prayers that they may come to know Christ, but in hell, no prayers are ever heard, and no prayers are ever answered. And so what we've got to do as a church, we've got to make sure right now that we do everything that we can to tell folks about Christ, and we've got to make sure that we do everything we can not to turn people away from church. We've got to do everything we can. For listen, we may be the only hope for some folks. Amen. The rich man in hell knew how to be saved, but he never would repent and get saved. And so now he's spending eternity in a place forever and ever. And now he is concerned for his family, for he doesn't want anybody to experience what he's experienced.
Amen.
Thousands upon thousands of people know what they need to do and they just won't do it. Thousands upon thousands of church folks are stuck in their religion and self-righteousness, and they know they know not Christ, and they just won't repent of their sin. Can I tell you, you're risking, you're playing Russian roulette, you are risking your very life. Give your heart to Jesus, for Jesus wants to save you.
Amen.
Don't go to hell. You'll mourn for your family and your friends who are not there. morning leads to a real past. When you get down at verse 29, morning leads to a refusal. Notice what he said, verse 29. Here's what he said. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. Then. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham said, no, listen. They have the first five books of the Bible. They have the teaching of the prophets. Let them listen to them. For if they're not listening to them, it's not going to matter who I send back. They're not going to listen to them as well. For just a little later, if you remember, there's another Lazarus in the Bible that came out of the grave. And we're told that many men, after him coming out of the grave, wanted to kill him again. Believe? No, they still. They still. A little later, another man got up and walked out of the grave. And his name was Jesus. It made no appeal to those who crucified him. They didn't pay him any attention. It bothered them not one bit. So if you're not ready and have not listened, you are going to hell. There'll be brokenheartedness in hell day in and day out. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. Friends, don't let friends go to hell. Now let's summarize something, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. How does it happen? What's the process? If you die today as a person sitting in this sanctuary and you have never received Christ, it matters not who you are, it matters not your position in the church, you died without Christ, your soul, according to the Bible, will go immediately into a place of conscience. Conscience. You'll know all that's happened to you. Every single thing from the day you close your eyes and death of people in this life. You'll stay that way in the great white throne judgment when your body will be raised and you and the demons will be cast. If you want to hear about some of that, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 talks about that very thing. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Guess who's sitting on the throne? From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for thee. Verse 12. And I saw the dead. Alright, here's the dead. Small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Look at verse 13. According to their works, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Now back up just a moment, and I'm fixing to read this, but back up, think about something. At the great white throne judgment, when the books are open, the main book that really matters is the book of life.
Amen.
For if you've been saved, your name is written in blood in the book of life. And you know why it's written in blood? For two reasons. Number one, because blood is what's going to get you there. Number two, nobody can take an eraser and erase your name out of the book. If Jesus has put it there, thank God it's going to stay there.
Amen.
People get wound up about being once saved, always saved. Well, you can believe what you want to, but I'll tell you one thing. God doesn't have a great big old eraser who writes it in blood and erases it out. Writes it in blood and erases it out. Writes it in blood. The day I accepted Jesus Christ, He wrote my name in blood. And guess where it's been? It's been there ever since. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now this is this. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. It's going to be right interesting that day. If we're standing beside Jesus and St. Peter and all those as they open up the books, it's going to be interesting that day. Well, I wonder what it would transpire and how it would correspond if we had Cedar Grove's membership book there along with the book of life. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's not going to say, well, I'm not going to be here to see that you're a member of Cedar Grove. I'll just bypass everything and let you in. No, no, no. You won't get in if your name's not in the book of life.
Amen.
You won't get in. You sit here this morning. If you die and go to hell, you can't blame anybody but yourself. We blame others. If a person cuts his finger off while slicing salami at work, he blames the restaurant for making him do the job that he done. If a man smokes 3 packs a day for 40 years and dies of lung cancer, he blames the tobacco company for putting him out there. If your neighbor crashes into a tree while driving drunk, he blames the bartender for serving him that last drink. If grandchildren are brats without manners, we blame the TV. It sure didn't happen in their house. You don't believe that? Watch some of the talk shows. Everybody wants to blame everybody. One of the most perverted shows that's ever been on is the Jerry Springer Show. And if you ever watch the Jerry Springer Show, you know what? People became axe murderers because grandma spanked them when they were little. But I'll tell you one thing, the buck stops here. If you go to hell, you're going on your own.
Amen.
And one good thing about it, I'll say this, we're going to pray. If you go to hell, you can't stand there that day and say, I wish the preacher would have told me about it before I told you. And to do the biblical thing, if you don't come to know Christ, I can wash my hands because I've told you what you've got to do to come to know Christ. Don't mean I'm going to quit praying for you. Don't mean I'm going to give up on you. But I know that I've done the first part. You've been taught what hell is really going to be. Correspondent, church, correspondent. Read everything about heaven and read everything about hell. Why in God's name would somebody want to go to hell when there's a heaven? Why? For if we believe this Bible, to die is better, or to be absent from the body than the presence of the Lord. I leaned over and spoke to Ron Circus before I left a while ago. And I said, Ron, listen, I've got to go to church. I said, but why don't you quit fighting? When the Lord calls for you, just go home. We're going to be okay. And we're not going to be far behind you. Why don't you go on home? You know what gives me the right to say that? On the authority of God's word, when a person knows Jesus Christ, they're going home when they die. Where are you going? It's been my prayer over these last few weeks that some of us at Cedar Grove would lay down the macho, prideful image and say, okay, maybe I haven't been saved. And then on the second thing is, it's been my prayer, if you have been saved, the second thing is to say, I forgive, Lord, I want you to forgive me for getting over being saved. You know, we get over being saved. We should never get over the greatest thing that has ever happened in your life. 2:12 on Sunday in March. You're going to decide over these next few months where you're going to spend your time. Heaven, hell, there is no